Morning to each one. I'll get you to turn your Bibles, if you have a Bible with you, to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read the first 14 verses of that chapter. And before we do that, I just wanted to read a card that was read in the first meeting this morning from Gary and Brenda DeVries. To the saints at Charlottetown Bible Chapel, we just wanted to express our thanks to you for the many cards we received over the past year and for your prayers. We took great comfort knowing that each step was orchestrated lovingly by him whose peace truly sustained us for so many months. I have completed by his grace all the treatments and now continue to get stronger all the time. Thank you again for the care and love shown to us. Love, Gary and Brenda DeVries. So it's nice to hear that Brenda is doing well. I'm of the age that I wear glasses now. Never thought it'd come, just for reading though. We're going to read the first 14 verses of chapter 2 in Matthew. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, or angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their cities, up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as there were found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. We turn over to a parallel passage in Luke chapter 14. I want to read just one verse in Luke chapter 14. Verse 24 says this, For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. One final reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Familiar verse, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's all the reading we'll do this morning. We know that God will bless his word. So here we have a little story in the Gospels. It's called a parable. And if many of you know what a parable is, but for those that don't, a parable is just a story, a physical story with a spiritual meaning. One person has quoted this, The opportunity of a lifetime must be grasped in the lifetime of the opportunity. In this little story here we have before us this morning, I think is contained in here all, I believe we can parallel the whole idea of getting right with God. I think there's enough information in here, and hopefully by the end of this meeting, you will have full understanding of how it is. Really what it is the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is how heaven operates, is really what we can paraphrase. This is how heaven operates. This is how one gets into heaven. I've entitled my message this morning, Excuses That Will Keep You Out of Heaven. This story, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, it's a really violent story, isn't it? The results of someone that refused the invitation, there was grave results. They went and killed the servants, and in turn, the king sends out the armies and kills them. There's violence in here. We're not used to that in Prince Edward Island. But this story here has a message for us here this morning. There's a number of characters in this. There's the king. I'd like to suggest, and I believe it's true, that the king represents God the Father. I believe the son in the story represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We have representation of a man. It says he had merchandise. I'd like to parallel that with someone that has lots of money. Then there was another individual in the story that had a farm. We'll liken that to a businessman. A farming is a business. He had a business. The general sense of the story is many were invited, they refused, others were invited, and eventually we see that there was someone that was at the wedding that was not really supposed to be there because he did not have a garment. And the custom of the day was when you went to a wedding such as this, you were given a garment, and you put that garment on, and that signified that you were an invited guest and that you were wanted, and you were invited to be there, and it was a privilege for you to be at that wedding. All very simple things. I think we can all so far understand the general sense of the story. There is going to be a meeting between you and God someday. There's going to be a meeting between you and God someday. You may not feel that that is the case. You may feel that you are a pretty good guy or person and you really don't have to physically meet God in this life, but you will meet him someday. We want to talk a little bit more about that also. The Gospel of John 14 speaks much of a place called heaven. And it says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. So heaven, we're going to speak about heaven this morning. It's a prepared place. And I've heard my father-in-law often said, a prepared place for prepared people. So let's get into the story here and let's parallel some of the things that might be applicable to you here this morning. If you're not saved here this morning, I see many familiar faces, but I want to tell you this morning that salvation is something that you experience. It's not something you grow into. It's not something that because your parents are here and you're in the young people's and you go to Awana and you have 50,000 Bible verses memorized, that does not gain you entrance into heaven. Salvation is something you experience. See, there was people, the first responder in this story was, it simply said, they would not come. They would not come. Maybe you think that to be a Christian is a bit rigid. Maybe you think that the people that you know that have professed salvation, that have understood that they're a sinner, and they've repented of their sin and turned to the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you think that lifestyle is a bit rigid. Maybe you think that it will change your lifestyle too much, and it will. And I'm sure maybe there's someone in our audience this morning that just loves to be on the fringes. Because stepping in wholeheartedly would mean that they would have to be accountable to God and they would have to actually change. I want to tell you, God does the changing, by the way. I prayed with a brother this morning, and I prayed this morning, you know what? I can't believe that God changed me. but he did. And salvation is a work of God in the heart of a human being. It's nothing to do with you, although there's some responsibilities that you need to consider. You see, the gospel is simply this. In Corinthians it says that the Lord Jesus, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again. That is the gospel message. It is all the truth about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's often too many messages that do not speak about refusing an invitation. That is not the gospel. But the Bible's full of warnings. And in this book here, in this chapter particularly, there's grave warnings of refusing the invitation. The gospel always, let me repeat, the gospel always demands a response. It always demands a response. So these were bidden, they were invited. When you're invited somewhere, it's the intention of the one giving the invitation that they desire for you to attend. You see, let's make it very simple. God wants you in heaven with him in a coming day. And there was a great preparation. The story says, he prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The man in the story went to great lengths in preparation. And that parallels simply with this. God the Father, in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to great lengths to save men and women from their sins. Well, you've probably heard that before. But I want to emphasize this morning that apart from coming in and actually receiving that invitation, you'll never be part of that marriage. But excuses, they made light of it. What does that actually mean? They just had no serious thought about it. Maybe you've been in under a gospel message many times, and you know what? Your mind's not here. You're not even listening to me. Maybe you're just indifferent. Maybe you're more concerned about the meal that you're going to have at dinner time. Or more concerned about your job. Or what you're going to do tomorrow. Or what social activity you're going to engage in this afternoon. And maybe you're just totally indifferent. That's what these men were. They were just indifferent. They had no serious thought. You see, the Bible tells me that faith, and that's how you come into the understanding of being a sinner, is just by trusting God at his word. God says you're a sinner. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by this book. These aren't my words here this morning. I hope after I come down from this platform, I will have explained it clearly, but they're not my words. They're God's words. You see, Satan, it's said of him, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In this story, the people invited cannot enjoy the marriage unless they attend. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? You're not there. You can't enjoy it. The first excuse was he was busy with his firm. Busy with the business, whatever it was. Busy, I remember many years ago when I first maybe took the platform, I entitled one of my messages, "The Busyness of Life." You know what? I can relate to being busy. I've got a job coming up Monday starting, and you know what? My mind's racing, and I'm busy. And all week I'm busy with thinking about the things that I need to accomplish. And you know what? We're under such timelines in this day and age, aren't we? When I start a job, I have to finish it and open. I'm doing a store, and I have to have it open at this date, and I have to be so far this time. And you know what? Time. We're all against the clock, aren't we? But we have 25 minutes here this morning. I've got a captive audience. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. Where will you spend eternity? There's nothing else that matters. We have 25 minutes. Think about this. Where will you spend eternity? Are you so busy with the business of life and all the things that you have around you that you just have no thought of God? The second man went to his merchandise. He went to his things. I don't know what he had. We've got lots, don't we? I don't think there's anyone here. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there's someone, but I doubt it, has missed breakfast this morning. We have an abundance of things. We're very self-sufficient. We don't look for our next meal. I'm not saying that everyone is on the same financial level, but generally speaking, we have lots. He lacked very little as far as this world's goods were concerned. You know what that reminds me of? That story in the Gospels with that rich young ruler. And he came to the Lord Jesus. And he says, how might I get eternal life? And the Lord told him what he had to do. He had to give up this, that, and the other thing and follow him. And here's the words. For he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's be realistic here this morning. What are you going after? What is your focus each day? Is it the almighty dollar? Is that consume you? Or what do you want to achieve with the money that you have to buy the things you have, to take care of the things you have, to waste time and not give one thought on your eternal destination? This rich young man, you know what? He wanted salvation, but he didn't want to give up anything. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to give up some things. Number one, you need to give up in your pride, the pride of your life, and basically just say, you know what? There's no value in these things. There's no value in light of eternity. Overabundance of things. If God is speaking to your heart, even this morning, as I said initially, salvation's of God. I could not create one anxious thought in this meeting this morning. It's the Spirit of God through the Word of God. I wrote this down. If God is speaking to your heart, even this morning, and the things of this world hold your affection more than responding to the gospel, you're in a dangerous situation. You see, it isn't going to get any less desirable. Things don't get less desirable as you get older. And we that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ need to guard against what's called covetousness, things that we desire that are temporal. There was another group in this story. They're just plain, simply opposed to the gospel. Inwardly or outwardly. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you have a great face. We don't know your heart. But inwardly, you just say, you know what? I don't really need that. This is a real story. God has put it in the Word of God and He wants us to take from this physical story and have a spiritual meaning. A spiritual meaning, meaning something that is of the heavenlies. Something that is out of this world. There's a real meaning here for us here this morning. God is trying to drive a point home. Well, the story goes, the king heard thereof, and he was very angry. It said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. The story goes on, there was a general invitation gone out, or there was a specific invitation gone out to certain people. They chose not to go. So then there's a general invitation, and I'm going to say, that's what we have here this morning. Now, I know that you Bible scholars would tell me that this is Israel and the church, and I do realize that, but I believe there's a very clear gospel application here, because as Israel turned against the Messiah, and we're the Gentiles, we were brought into opportunity to be saved. We're the Gentiles. So that's very clear to me that this is applicable for us here today. So the king comes in, and all these, so what happens is, all those that refused, they were not going to partake of the supper, and their servants went out and they invited and they filled the place. The whole wedding feast was filled with people. And the king goes into the wedding and he sees someone that has no garment. He had no garment on. He wasn't part of the wedding. He somehow had gotten in, let's say through a back door, but he wasn't part of the wedding feast. He wasn't part of it. I want to tell you this morning, you'll never be part of heaven if you're not covered. And listen, I'm trying to explain this in a very clear way. If you're not covered with God's righteousness. And let me explain that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, 100% holy, no sin in Him, died on a cross, came to earth. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it says, unto us a child is born. And what does it eventually say? The Savior of the world was born on earth in the form of a baby. And that perfect one who was 100% righteous died on a cross for the sins of mankind, fully righteous. And the only way that you'll gain entrance into heaven is to be covered in the righteousness of God. God looks at you through the perfect Son of God. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced salvation in that way? Understood that I'm not righteous, and He is righteous, and He loves me, and He bore judgment for me so that I won't have to go to this place called hell. You see, in our story here this morning, there was those that were thrown into a place called hell. That's real. This is a real story. This is a truth. Where will you spend eternity? You see, it's black and white. You know, I could come up here and gloss it over, but the truth of the matter is, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity in hell with weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's judgment for all eternity. That's reality. Where are you this morning? September 10th, 1988. That's when I understood that I was a sinner. Oh, I was told in my whole life, raised in a Christian home, knew Bible verses. I did essays in Sunday school, 6-page-long essay. I was on my way to hell. But that day, I understood this. Christ died for me. That's all I understood. I understood He died for me. And that's where you need to be here this morning. Have you ever experienced that? Understood that you're a sinner, that Christ loves you, and that He died for your sins. See, this man that was found without a garment, he was speechless. What could he say? He either had the garment on or he didn't. He didn't have it on. He was guilty You know what they did to him? They bound him hand and foot. There was no further action. There was no second chance. He didn't have the garment on. Out he went. You know what my mind goes to? That young man, I don't know him. I believe he was 32 years old. You've heard it. It was in the papers, in the news. 1 o'clock, his car went off in Kinkora somewhere. Maybe some of you know him. I don't know where he is as far as his eternal soul was, but I know this. He did not expect to die that night, and he is gone. See, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Where will you spend eternity? They bound him hand and foot. No further action. No more opportunity to escape the consequence of having no garment. No second chance. This is a real story in the Word of God. Is it speaking to you? Young person, here? Do you know for sure? Are you just going along? Older person, you're getting closer to death's door. Are you sure? You know, an old preacher told me one time, it never hurts to go around the foundation. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Wow. I don't know if that says 1:45. Is that what it says? I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore, but I just pray that God would use His Word here this morning. I'm no great orator, but I tell you this, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will complete. He will bring me to the completion of my salvation, and that will be a spot at the great feast with the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Savior, the one, that's the gospel. Not only was he did he die and buried, he rose again. He is living. He's a real God. And I'm looking forward to meeting him. I hope you'll see him as your Savior and not your judge. Father, we have much to be thankful for. We're thankful for the country that we live in, that we can speak openly about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He is the Savior of sinners. And Father, I pray that Your Word would go out this morning, whatever way. Father, forgive me where I failed You. Use Your Word. Speak to hearts. And Father, may someone come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, even this morning, while we are still in this building. We pray these things in His name. Amen.